So we're up to page Ayin Hey. It's Simon Yud. We're in the middle of Yud Tess. We're up to Sha'olim Mitzin Ma'alocha Chav Tess on the bottom. Okay, there are more copies. Anyone need a copy? There are more copies here. There are copies over here. Towards the bottom. On the bottom, the Sha'odim and Mitzion B'Halacha Chavtes, so we learned yesterday, Bris Mila. Does one take off his tefillin or does one keep on his tefillin for the Bris Mila? The Kitzchuk was very strict. He was very clear that you are a mechuyev to keep on your tefillin during a Bris Mila. Do not take them off. Today where I davened, there was a Bris. So everyone took off their tefillin for Musaf. And then it was a Bris. So I didn't pay attention. I left. I didn't pay attention. But the tzibur definitely did not put on their tefillin. That I can tell you for sure. Did the Avi Haben? Did the Moel Masanik? I don't know. I'm too far away to see what's going on. They didn't leave it on. They had to have Musaf. So Musaf, you have to take it off. But you got to put it back on. You put it back on, you make a bracha. You're taking it off. It's a Hesach Hadas. No question about it. So the shaila is, so the kids Shochner says yes, because you're supposed to, we know from the Mishnah, you're supposed to, they're both called an ois. Tefillin is an ois, Bris Mila is an ois. It's proper that the two oises shall mingle with one another. You should be wearing your tefillin the time of the Bris Mila. You should not take off your tefillin when there is a bris after davening. Even though technically we learned the Kishonach that he holds that you can take off your tefillin and you should, he says. See, after you say, we discussed this yesterday. That's the time to take off, that's like a bracha to take off the tefillin. So the Mishnah Berurah says, don't get carried away here. Don't do that. You should wait until after at least Kaddish. Kaddish Teskadl. Kaddish Kabbalah's tefillah. But if there's a bris mila, a kol there's a discussion, a very significant discussion, when to make a bris on Rosh Hashanah and when to make a bris on Purim. On Rosh Hashanah, do you make the bris before the tekiyas or do you make the bris after Musaf? On Purim, when do you make the bris? Do you make the bris before Megillah, or do you make the bris after davening is over? But on Rosh Chodesh, as far as I know, I've never heard. You're asking a very good question. So why do you make the bris between Shacharis and Musaf? So L'chor, there's no need to. There's no reason to.
So you should keep on your tefillin, not have a suffix.
Right. Now there's no safek. You make a new bracha, there's no problem. You can make another bracha. That's not a bracha levatala.
Okay.
You take off the tefillin. It's a hesach hadas. So put it back on. Who's stopping you? Put it back on. Make a bracha. That's not. Because we're going. The oilam. That we'll see is a little bit different. But at least the avi haben. But what he's saying is that when it comes to our Purim, some people make the bris mila before the mila because la yehudim hoisa oira v'simcha v'sasin v'ikar oira zu toira oira simcha zu yamtif sasin zu mila. And therefore, before you lay in the Megillah, you should go into you, since that's the ikar part, one of the ikar of the Megillah. Like the Ma'aseh Simcha V'Sas, one of the pesukim everyone says together, you should enter into the Megillah with just half after having fulfilled the inyan of Bris Mila. That's a minuk. Not everyone does that. I believe it's popular not to do that because people are just in a rush. They're in a rush, so they don't want to be delayed with the Bris Mila, and then they're in the lane. And Rosh Hashanah, that's much more common, you have the Bris Mila before Musaf, because the pair, you want to mingle, the Chasam Sofer. See, this is a very controversial topic today. I think you get into a lot of trouble to talk about this. Depends on where you talk about this, but Metzitzah B'Peh. So Metzitzah B'Peh is Dam. The same pair that's meluchloch with dam mila should blow the shofar. When you do mitzitza, if you do mitzitza bepeh, so then the peh has come in contact with the mila. Yitzchak was the first one to have a bris mila on the eighth day, and the shofar is a zecher for the Eloi Shel Yitzchak. So it's a real powerful combination if the moel is the baal tokeh. Okay, but that's. But first of all, today, who says the most about Tekeya? And who says you're going to do Mitzitza Bepeh? And so on and so forth. Yet, the concept is there. The idea is there. Milo and Shofar. Some learn that the Milo, Bris Milo, is the Akeda. That's a very popular topic. Some do this. They tie up the baby. You ever see this? Hasidim, they do this. It's very dangerous. Some doctors, they're up in arms. They bind the child. They take the baby. They take the baby. You hear this? They take the baby.
They bind him.
And they tie up his legs. They tie up his arms. They tie him up because the Bris Milah, when you're giving over, yeah, when you're giving the Bris Milah, it's a Mesiras Nefesh. It's a dangerous. It's an operation. People die from Bris Milah. It's not so simple. It's Pikuach Nefesh. A Bris Milah is Pikuach Nefesh. It's Sakonis Nefashas. There are statistics. Children, Rachman Litzlan, die from the trauma of Bris Milah. It's Mesiras Nefesh. It's like going to the Akeda, Kiddush Hashem. The doctors are very upset with this because you have to give the baby the ability to let out the pain. The baby kicks. It kicks and it wags its hands. That's a way for it to get out its pain. If you're going to suppress that by tying down the legs, it's a sakana, psychological sakana. But the problem though is, if you ever go close and watch, the moil always says, hold the legs down very tight. Don't let the baby move when we do this. So anyway, everyone does. Anyway, they're really holding down the kid really tough. Okay, but it's not tying him down, only for a moment. Obviously, it's not as bad. So you don't see this. You don't see, among the Litvish Olam, even by Hasidim, you very rarely see someone go to the extreme measurement of kind of this minig. This minig is Chamira Sakanta Yaisa Meisura. This is a minig that's not very popular, that I can tell you. But, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe we're going to the wrong circles, maybe they do it very often. But the point here is, you're saying a very good point, when it comes to Milo, you have, when exactly do you mean when you have Tefillin? Yeah, so when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that's for sure, Rosh Hashanah, and when it comes to Purim, it's done in the middle of davening. Other Yom Tovim, I never heard. It's done when davening is over. Another very interesting thing you should take note of, this is a very big difference between Eretz Yisrael and America. And it's already become like this in Lakewood, it's like this already also to a certain degree. In America, as far as I know, as far as I remember from my youth, the earliest youth, Bris Milah is always done after davening. Right? You're invited to a Bris. So, what's the question? What time is davening? What's the next question? Can you come to the Bris? We're making a Bris. Can you come? Yeah, what time is where and what time is davening? It's like almost automatic. What time is davening? Right? Because right after davening, you have the Bris. They go together. You're not going to have the Bris without the davening. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not like that. Eretz Yisrael, daven wherever you want. Don't get me involved. Do you want to go daven? Go daven. Maybe as far as I know, maybe I'm making a mistake. The Bris is 8 o'clock in this hall, in this place. A lot of shuls have halls. It's not together. It's not. The parent, Avi HaBen, will daven very early, the Sikin, Ashkama, and then we'll go half an hour later, go home, get the baby, and then he'll go and he'll come to the place of the Bris. The family will come, he'll put on his talis and tefillin again, and he'll do the Bris Milah. Even in Lakewood, it's like this already. In Lakewood, there are certain people dive wherever you want to go dive, and then the bris milah is called for 7:30, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the bris milah of this hall, and this in the basement of this place. Nothing like a minion factory upstairs. Remember, I went to a bris. There was a minion factory upstairs. It was a very not like a very bakovitic minion factory where they dive in the way they should dive. It was like a 45-minute davening, one minion after another, and different like one. And in the basement was a hall, and the bris. Daven? Daven whenever you want to daven. I don't care. Go daven here, go daven there. The bris is 8 o'clock in the basement. Bidiyuk. You want to daven? It happens to be that in that building upstairs is a minyan at 7 o'clock and at 6:30 in this part. You don't have daven. Daven wherever you want. So it's interesting you ask this question. Why don't you do the bris milah between shachris and Musaf and Rosh Chodesh? Because why? You're saying a very good point. You're saying Gvaldak, you're wearing tefillin. You're wearing tefillin, the tzibur's wearing tefillin. After Musaf, you're going to take off the tefillin. And then, since you're supposed to wear tefillin for Bris Milah, you have to put the tefillin back on. You're right. It's a very good point. It's not an ideal situation. It should be before you daven musaf. Yet, I don't know, good point. The minig is not like that. The minig is, on Rosh Chodesh, the bris milah always takes place after musaf is over. It fits very well with the other minig, where the bris milah really has nothing to do with davening. But you can't say that, because you do see that it does have something to do with davening, because on Purim and on Rosh Hashanah, there's a hakpada, to some degree, to have the bris milah after Shacharis, before Musaf. Look, there's also the minhagim that you don't say Tachnun, so you see such a thing. The boil is there, the aviyabed is there. There's such a thing that you know that davening is different. Is it different because of the milah, because of the moil or the baal shacharis? And there's also various minhagim that you say the charos imo habris by shacharis together. So that's part of davening. If you want to say that the bris milah has nothing to do with davening, so why then are there minhagim where we say the charos imo habris the kol ram together? So obviously there's some.
Based on what you're saying, in Lakewood they should say Tachnun. No,
so the Shulchan Aruch says that if the Avi HaBen, see, that's what makes it interesting. Yeah. If the Avi HaBen is present,
you don't say
Tachnun. Like, for example, many times there's a late brist because for different reasons. Let's say because the doctor says we're not ready yet. The doctor says the baby's a little bit yellow. Wait until the end of the day. We want to give another 12 hours. Wait until the afternoon to the bris milah. But the Avi HaBen is there. Or let's say you have a story, this happens, you have an expert moyel. You bedafka want a certain moyel. There are people like that. They have mishagas, they get very nervous. Someone in the family is very nervous. So you want to satisfy that person, the mother, the grandmother, the grandfather. It's a very delicate thing. Or he did my milah. I want it to be three generations. But it's not available, the moil. The moil has three other bris in that morning. So you gotta wait until we have the bris milah a little later on, or people are coming from the family. Everyone has a story, you'll have some type of story. So you're not gonna have the bris milah of davening, but if the Avi HaBen is present, or the moil is present, or the sandig is present, then you don't say Tachnun. So you see that it's not 100% dependent upon that we're going to have a bris milah. It depends on the principals. The principals who will today, later in the day, participate in the bris milah. You don't. Me'ikar hadin, we don't do this. But me'ikar hadin by mincha, let's say there was a bris milah and you're davening mincha. You're davening mincha, and I think I'm ikar if the moyel or the sadik or the avi that are present by mincha after the bris is over, you don't say tachnun. It's a yomta for them for the entire day. But we don't do that. It's not the minhag. It's the halacha. Minhag mevatel halacha. By most Ashkenazim, by mincha, they'll say tachnun, even if the avi haben, the father, made a bris this morning or the moyel or the sadik. Why? I don't know. That's how it is. We don't follow this halacha for some reason when it comes at least to tachnun. It's not etched in stone that it's the cardinal sin. Cardinal sin is a very good word to these, you know, these couple of days. But let's go now. After going through this whole Chagadia, let's go to the bottom of Chavtes. I told you, bris milah, the minhag olam is, they don't wear tefillin. By bris milah, Chavtes, in lachlitz arachad hamilah, king kosef ashach, vehamogin avram vahachidah b'avodas hakodesh. Okay, so it's pretty good. Pretty good to go with the shach and the mogin avram, and the chidah is a mukubal. Okay, you have from the non-mukubalim, what's a non-mukubal? What do you call a non-mukubal? A straight shooter. Yeah, from the non-mukubalim and the mukubalim, the chidash and the greatest mukubalim, they all agree, one thing is clear. Wear the tefillin when you do a, you participate in the bris milah. However, uveshulchan aruch harav, av shnei agoyin, av shnei zalmin, mi lady, he is Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? Min Chabad. This is the Makor of Chabad. The Ayin with Sefer Ateres Svi, La'agor HaKadosh, Mi, I don't know, Mi Zit Teshuv. You know Mi Zit Teshuv? Zit Teshuv.
Zit Teshuv.
Lachloitz, The Zidishava. What do they say? What does the Shulchan Aruch Harav say? Lachlo Yitzad Tefillin. Okay, he's here to the rescue. Where are you going to find such a thing? He's here to the rescue. Take off your tefillin. You bedavka should take off your tefillin for bris mila, be'es hamila, docha doyma, l'musafir shchu. It's like when you're doing, it's like a musafir shchodesh. It's a yomtif. It's a yomtif. When you're doing a bris mila, this is mamish a korban. You bring a special korban to Hashem, the bris mila.
So why does the father wear the tefillin?
Because most people today follow the Shach and the Magen Avraham and the Chidah. That's what the Kitzur says you should do. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says that you should do. So we're not Chabad. If you have a Chabad, so you do a Chabad. If you're not a Chabad, you should do what you're supposed to be doing. V'heivisham, v'sheivishagam. So why is the Olam following Chabad for this? I don't know. This is what it says. Why does the Olam take off their tefillin, doesn't wear tefillin on Chalamayit? The Gra. Selective Judaism. You take this I like and this I like, make a little bit of a challenge. Selective Judaism. V'hevi shagam haraf hakodesh milublin. The haraf hakodesh mahar mehad as a dal reish mahad merenu harav mal mi sasov lo hoyu aleim atfilim be'ez hamila uve'oys ha'chaim hevi she'abal b'nei soscha ve'abal tevei chaim hoyu abadeha. They were chassidim, so you can't say it's a chassidish thing. Hoyu aleim atfilim be'ez hamila ke'ashach ve'ogin Abraham. So the achim, look at this. I once heard a very beautiful interpretation of why taka you bedavka should not wear tefillin, because tefillin, you know what tefillin are? They're like an antenna. They like broadcast. Like, you ever see they have a dish on top. They don't have it anymore because they have internet. You don't need it anymore. But at least they have a dish on top of you. These satellite dishes, they're out of style now because of internet. But like a satellite, they receive. Top of the World Trade Center before, now on top of the Empire State, it's schwach. It's not as good. They have the antenna. It broadcasts, right? The highest building in the city, you need an antenna to broadcast your message. Tefillin are a satellite that's broadcasting to the world. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. When you wear tefillin, what are you doing? I'm broadcasting. We bring the Shalom. Kishem Hashem, the Klal Yisrael is the nation. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Why don't you wear tefillin on Shabbos? So we know the simple reason, because we only need to have two oises. It's like a Jewish. I never really grasped the depth of this. You only have to have two signs. Why only two? Torah says two or three. So what's wrong with three? No, three is too much. Overdose. Only two. So once you have the bris mila, it's called an ois, and Shabbos is an ois, oh, you're safe. He's safe. You have shnei edim, two oisais. You don't need the third. It would be an overdose. You don't need. So okay, you don't need. But what's so terrible if you would put on tefillin? So I'll have a third ois. It's a good kasha. So I once heard the pshat is because no. What is Shabbos? Shabbos privacy. It's none of your business. The guy, you have no business in Shabbos. Ki ois hi beini ubeinechem. Between me and you, only between Klal Yisrael. Goyim are not allowed. It is an exclusive club. On the day when we, the tefillin, this is a very big kiddush. The purpose of the tefillin, not only is it for us, kedusha, you put the shame, it's also to broadcast our Judaism to the world. Now, we're not trying to convert people. Let's not get that wrong. We're not a missionary nation. There's no inyan to go out and convert people. But to bring to the world kedusha that they are roy for, that they are on their level, that's what tefillin are. You don't broadcast Shabbos to the world. Because Shabbos is an ois beini beinechem, is only to us and Klai Yisrael. A goy she'shavas, chayiv misa. A goy that does, it's not the neila. You don't wear a tefillin on Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a day that you're not trying to broadcast the Kedusha Shabbos to the rest of the world. Goyish Shabbos Chayiv Misa. Bris Mila is an ois for Klal Yisrael. What's the difference between a Jew and a Goy? A Jew has the covenant of Bris. The Choros Imo HaBris. Roseis Lazaro. It's for Klal Yisrael. It's none of their business. When you're doing the bris mila, we're not in the business of broadcasting our private club, our private inyan with the Umar Sa'ilam. So Bidavka, take off the antenna, turn off the satellite for the moment of Bris Mila. Pum Fakat. On the one hand, the Magen Avraham and the Shach say, no, we're Tfil, because Tfilin is an ois, and Bris is an ois. Bring the two ois together. On the other hand, you can say that, no, what kind of ois is Tfilin? It's not just an ois. It's an antenna where you broadcast your essence to the world. Yeah, so the whole day you want to broadcast Kedusha to the world. V'rohu kol amei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha. You want the world to pick up the signal. We are broadcasting the signal. We want them to pick it up. But you don't want them to pick up the signal of Bris Milah. And you don't want them to pick up the signal of Shabbos. Because that's not for them. That's only between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's none of their business. That's why bedafka you take off the tefillin. You take off your antenna. So he doesn't say, he says, just simply, because it's Rosh Chodesh. It's a Yom Tov. On a Yom Tov, you don't wear a bris. So therefore, Chiluk Edeis, obviously, I don't have to tell you, the Minhag HaOlam is, I don't know if it's because they know what people are, and not everything that we do is because we do it with a Cheshvin. On the other hand, Hanach Lahem Li Yisrael, Im Enim Nevim B'nei Nevim, so you can't criticize, we don't really know, but the Minhag HaOlam is obviously that the Hamoinam is not Nizernis. They take off their tefillin, but the Avi HaBen, Ruba de Ruba, the Avi HaBen and the Sandik do wear tefillin at the time of Bris Milah. You have to put it back on. So if today will be Rosh Chodesh, make a Bris Milah, you would put it back on, you would make a new bracha before the Bris Milah. And it's very common, Nerit, when you have a special, you're invited just to come to a Bris Milah in the afternoon, or to come to a Bris Milah at 9 o'clock, a late Bris Milah, we're having the Bris Milah at 9 o'clock on Sunday, daven wherever you want to daven, and show up at the hall at 9 o'clock, so the Avi HaBen of the Sandik will typically put on talis and tefillin. And the one that gets the bracha always wears a talis, that they always give him a talis. What?
Talis here.
But tefillin, I told you, what? The Sandik. What?
Okay,
so different minogim. So you follow the.
No, it wasn't
Lubavitch. So, but no, it's not only Lubavitch. It says over here. It says other people.
I thought
the Rav Akash from Lublin and the Sasov. There are different shitas. There are chiluk ideas. There's a Shach in the Magen Avraham says yes, and there are a whole long list of shitas. Shulchan Aruch Harav, Shulchan Aruch Harav, Shulchan Aruch Harav, doesn't mean, just because Shulchan Aruch Harav doesn't mean it's only for Lubavitch. Shulchan Aruch Harav is for everyone. Shulchan Aruch Harav is the Goin Shab Goinim.
I'm trying to remember.
Not even the Avi HaBen and the Sadik. No, that's not. Okay, so they're following, but where I've been, Adavin Chaim Berlin often. And there, the Rashiva is Sandik almost every time. There, they have a minhag that they give him Sandik. Normally, you only give once. But there, the minhag is they give him all the time. Even more, they have 10 children, give him 10 times. I should really say that's not really popular now. A lot of people, they don't do that anymore. They give it to their family after the first time. People do different things. But him, always. It's known. He will always wear the Rashiv of Chaim Lev Aaron Shach, the Shlita. He always wears tefillin, even in the afternoon. Whenever there's a bris, he comes in wearing talis and tefillin. And from that, maybe rubbed off on other people, that in the yeshiva, the Avi HaBen.
Maybe the Avi HaBen.
And I've been to Lakewood to a bris mila there once, and they were wearing talis and tefillin. And it wasn't after davening. It was a private ceremony in Eretz Yisrael. I was there, and I vaguely remember they were wearing talis and tefillin. So yesh v'yesh, they're chaluk ideas. They're different opinions. Okay, let's go a little bit more. Let's go to chaf sif katan chaf cholzin mu'umid. When you take off your tefillin, you should be standing. The first thing you do, take off the krichos, take off the ritzuos around the finger, ubeiz or gimel b'krichos mehazroya, So he says, I don't think we do this. Do you do this?
No, we don't.
I don't do this. You take off two or three from the arm. Anyone do that?
Then you wrap it.
I don't do that. Just take off three from the, then you wrap it around, nice around, around and then the shalrosh. But here he says different. Learn something new every day. And then you take off the shalrosh. Why are we makbir to do this? Mishum d'chsev. V'hayule toitofos bein inecha. There shall be toitofos between your eyes. Mishum v'hayu l'shoin radim. We learn darshu. Rabbi says zechun levracha kol zman shebein inecha. As long as there are tefillin between your eyes, there shall be two. Plural, there shall be also a tefillah shel yad. Kol zman shebein inecha yihyu shtayim. And therefore, if the tefillin shel rosh are on your head, you should also have on your arm the tefillin shel yad. That's why the order, when you put the tefillin on, you put on first the shel yad, so that when you come to the shel rosh, you'll have two at the same time. And when you take off the shel rosh, you take it off. If you were to take off the shel yad first, you would violate the halacha, because you would have, at that point in time, only one, the shel rosh, would be on alone. And whenever this shel rosh is on, it shall always be accompanied by its colleague, the shel yad. The chultz and tchila shel rosh, that's why you chultz and tchila shel rosh. Shekol zman sheyesh olav shel rosh, tiyeh olav shkam shel yad. V'yesh lachay shel rosh biyat simoil. When you take off the tefillin shel rosh, use your weaker hand, the yad simoil, shu yad keya. Why? That's the same hand where the, that's the same hand that you have the ritzuos are wrapped around. Why? Kedei shetehela, kedei laharos, shekol shel olav chalit sasan. Shemachavinis. You see this? When you take it off, it's painful for me. You don't think the right hand means, ah, when you're strong and I can't wait to get rid of it. I'm going to use. You have to show, oi, oi, I don't want to take off my tefillin. I want to wear my tefillin the whole day. I want the kedush shem Hashem, the shri chav, the mitzvah chav to you. Shekosh of chalitzas b'mesha, mitzvah he, sheyu, olav, olav, tulchim, mikra, din, you should not take it off. You should wear it the entire day. Elo shemesha, long gufnaki. This is critical. He's saying over here, the reason why we do not wear tefillin the entire day is because we do not have a clean body. We are not in control of our bodies. It's disrespectful. That's why I told you. That's why I told you it was really this. I told you yesterday, when it comes to Ashrei V'Letzion, you don't take off. You don't take your tefillin in front of a Sefer Torah. Now we learned before because of the pasuk that Hashem Oiver Hashem. Oiver Malcolm Lifnaim Vashem Bereisham. We had that pasuk which taught us that when Hashem is passing before, the Melech is passing before you, the Hashem Bereisham, that taught us that while the Sefer Torah is in front of you, your tefillin shall be upon your head. But here he's telling, even if it's not during that time of davening, let's say davening is already over, whatever the situation is, and you're in front of a Sefer Torah, you should never take off your tefillin in front of a Sefer Torah. For lo yachlet tefillin lebifnei Sefer Torah, lebifnei Rabbi, very important halacha. Don't take it in front of the Rebbe before the Rav. Eli Yisalik, that's when you should go turn to the side. Because it's disrespectful to uncover your head. We think of the tefillin, you're uncovering your head. It's not respectful. Go gili roish in front of the Sefer Torah, even for a moment, and gili roish in front of the Rav, in front of the Talmud Chacham. Minuk Chacham l'nashek es ha-tefillin. So minuk Chacham to kiss the tefillin, b'shas ha-nechas, b'shas chalitzas, both when you put it on, put it, take it off. Why isn't it a hefsek? It's a very good kasha. When you take it on, when you put the tefillin on, every morning you made a brach. Baruch atah Hashem Elohim Melech Olam. You make first tefillin when it comes to tefillin shel yad. It's no hefsek. That's you kiss it before, but when you put on the tefillin shel roish, it's really part of the brach of the tefillin shel yad. The bracha lehaniach tefillin goes on the tefillin shel roish as well. So why isn't it a hefsek? So I guess you see or you say that the chiv of mitzvah is a chiluk of the mitzvah. It's a very powerful yisayin halacha. It's a halachic yisayin. We have to learn halacha. Too much drush is no good. You have to learn halacha also. Chiddush in halacha. The chiv of mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah itself. You make a bracha l'aniach tefillin, you put on the shel yad, you finish, and then you take out the shel rosh and you kiss it. What are you doing? Kissing. That's chiv of mitzvah. That's not a chelik of the mitzvah. That's a hefzik between the bracha l'aniach and the putting on the tefillin. No. Chiv of mitzvah is an extension of the mitzvah itself at the kach that is not called a hefzik. You always have the talis on. The talis always, she doesn't tell us why. The ain lohasir is a talis, al acha chalitza satfilin. do not take off the talis until you take off your tefillin. Now we know that when it comes to putting on, we learned that the first you put on the talis, then the tefillin. Why? We had two reasons. Number one, the talis to a certain degree is more choshev. Why? Because talis is shakel connected all the mitzvos. Or isemos or zechartim as kol mitzvos Hashem vasisemosam. So talis has a milo of all the mitzvos, it goes first. The second reason is because malin b'kodesh v'loy maridin. The kedusha of tefillin is greater because it's tashmishay kedusha, has the shem Hashem. So you go up. So l'chayra, when you're going down, it's the same exact thing. When you go down, the order is reversed when you're removing. You want to remain with the talis, which has all the mitzvos upon you, which shakel, kinege, kol mitzvos, as long as possible. And just like malin b'kodesh, you go up, when you have to take a step down, you step down by first removing the thing which has the most kedusha. You go down gradually. Okay, let's see over here. Let's go next halacha. Chaf Aleph. Just do one more halacha. Chaf Aleph. Yenichas the tefillin abisecha kis shalhen. B'efen, you should put the tefillin in the kis, b'efen in the way. Sheyeda, that you shall know. L'mochar, l'hoitzi tchila shal yad. You have to be very careful. Now we learned this in detail when it came to touching the talus first. It's very dangerous to put the talus in the zekel in a way where you will encounter the tefillin first, because we learned Ein ma'avirin ala hamitzvah. If you take the tefillin first, you are in trouble. You have a chuyiv to put on the tefillin first, because once it's in your hand, since your kavana is to do both mitzvahs at this moment in time, you must put on the tefillin first. Be very careful to put the talis in the bag in a way where you will encounter your talis first. Now let's talk about the tefillin stuff you have in the bag. You have both the shalyad and the shalrosh. What do you take first? The shalyad. But if you touch the shalrosh first, you are in trouble. Maker adin, you should have to in ma'avir ala mitzvahs. You should take the shal and put on the shalrosh, but you're not allowed to. The halacha of the hayu overrides ein ma'avirin al hamitz. They always have priorities. In halacha, there are always conflicts, and when there are conflicts, you have to have your priorities straight. And the priority is the hayu is more important. Therefore, you have to marry. But you should make at least be careful in order that it should not happen. So, what do you do? Avloyinich shalyad al shel rosh. Now, even though, so what is the solution? The solution is, this is a very problem today they have today with the army. It became very popular. And this is not so simple. Okay, people, everyone jumps to conclusions. They have now a new thing. I'll show you, it's like a canteen. Not a canteen, a tube, a thermos. So obviously, right away, people were very mafakfik on this. They didn't like this because you have to touch the shell yad first. So if it's flat, the way you carry it, the canteen is flat, okay, that's you can't get to the shel yad, the shel rosh, until you take out the shel yad. Okay, fine. But they're not necessarily made like that. They're made to stand one on top of the other. And not everyone is such a big fan of this, because the tefillah shel rosh has more kedusha. And just like you don't put a gemara on top of a chumash, the chumash goes on top of the gemara, so too the shel rosh goes on top of the shel yad. Lav lo yinich shel yad al shel rosh kevan ze shel rosh kedusha soy gedol be shel yad. Av yinich am zoy etzal zoy v'yinich hakis im atzfilin besich kis atalis lemata v'atalis lemala kidei sheyivka betalis tchil. Now here's another important thing. So you'll ask me the same exact question: how are you allowed to put the talis on top of your tefillin? It's disgraceful, right? Isn't a good kasha? Just like I'm telling you now, go put the tefillin shel yad, have the tefillin shel rosh. So how then can you put in your talis? Everyone in the talis bag puts the talis on top of the. That's why you have a separate bag.
Right.
That's why they said, because if you didn't, what? It's a kiss. So therefore, it's viewed to be something which is completely independent. If that's how it came about. You have to pay more money. What's the business? Mm-hmm. The reason why you have to pay is in order to pay the Judaica expert. Oh, another bag. Oh, that's just for the cost. It costs $100. That's for the talus bag. But for the matching tefillin bag, it's going to cost you another $50. And you want your initials? It's another $25. Or you want the nice initials? Another $10. And it goes, well, it's a business, right? It's not just a business. Also a business. But it's because the talus, it's not proper to put the talus on top of the tefillin. So you have to enclose it separately in its own kiss. The tefillin are. Otherwise, what do you have to have such a big talus? Just for shtup everything into one bag. that's problematic because, first of all, it's not as protected. You're very nizah protected. But also, the talis is resting upon the tefillin. It's not respectful. But in the bag itself, you should put they should not be next to each other. So again, it's a very big problem. The canteens are not so simple. Look, you have no choice. The thermos. You ever seen watch an Eretz Yisrael, all the soldiers. Every soldier has this. So listen, what are you going to do? You're limited for space. Okay, you're a soldier, a chayol. You know, what are you?
It's waterproof,
but today it's very big craze now. Like a lot of the kids today, it's like the new in thing. It used to be those two things with the straps, yeah. Right? Now the new thing is, not among everyone, certain types of kids, certain types of schools. It's a new in thing to have.
Strap.
It has the strap. It's like the new thing. You have a thermos.
Right
here? Yeah. You have to go into the elementary schools, go to different schools than the different types of kids. This is a new thing now. So look at them. I didn't see them in a long time. But look at them. Are they meant to stand? Then I don't understand. They're not meant to stand. They're meant to put down. Problem is, you stand them up, then the shalyan is on top of the shalosh. That's not a hiddur. In the army, they were not made for American kids going to Haredi schools. They were not. They were made for people. It was invented for people, the soldiers in the army, who are very limited in space and are limited.
What do this temperature?
Waterproof.
That also, it's waterproof, and they try to prevent. I don't know the deal, but it was originally created as a solution for soldiers, and then it became popular, and they made it for the tzibur, for the hamoinam. But you are cutting corners in halacha when the shalyan goes on top of the shalrosh. Now I don't know how it is today. Now over here, you look at the Mishnah Berurah. They talk about putting it on the right, on the left. Where do you put the shalyan, the shalrosh? Because the right is all mochoshev, so you should put the shalrosh on the right. But on the other hand, you're going to encounter the right first. The solution is the kitzur was brilliant. He left all this out: the right, the left. Because there are so many variables, if you're a righty, if you're a lefty, and the most important variable, this is a very big difference between the Israeli tefillin bags and the American tefillin bags when I was a bar mitzvah boy, is which way does the zipper open? No, it's not a joke. When I was a bar mitzvah, there were people that got theirs, they got to an Eretz Yisrael, and they got the bag in Eretz Yisrael. All of the bags in Eretz Yisrael, the zipper opened, the Israeli bags, they opened in one direction, and all of the bags that you buy in the American stores and Eichler's and all of these other Judaica stores, the American bags that are manufactured in America open in the opposite direction. So you open up the tefillin bag, you open up the zipper, so where's your hand? Your hand is with the zipper. You right away put your hand inside. That's where the shalyat should be. Now if you're an Israeli, you're opening on the other side. So when you're opening it, that's then your shalyat. Basically, the shalyat should be near where the zipper opens. Now, when you talk about Mishnah Berurah, you talk about no, it should be on the right, the left. Well, that's if you know, like an old-fashioned time. I don't know if they had zippers. Tefillin bags. Maybe they had zippers then for sure, but I don't know, they were sophisticated to mass produce these plastic zippers. The average person didn't have a zipper bag. I don't know if it's Chaim's talus bag had a zipper. Stama, no one in the shul had a zipper. Who knows? Maybe they did.
Something new. It's only 125.
And even the zippers, okay, even the zippers that are new, go Google it, when the zippers come into existence, it took time until it was mass produced to the degree where every little kid has a zipper on every little mishigas. And a talus bag and tefillin bag did not have zippers. This is probably came into existence, popularized in the middle of the 20th century.
The old bags have strings that loop.
Oh, exactly, have a loop. So you open it up. So it doesn't make a difference. Oh, it doesn't make a difference. So now you can start playing around. Well, are you a righty or are you a lefty? Is the right more chashiv? Is the left more chashiv? Does the chashivas depend on the kedusha of the shalosh, the shalyat? Does the kedusha depend on what you'll encounter first, the right and the left hand? There are so many variables. And all of these variables have now taken a very great change with the invention of the zipper. Every single talis bag today, kemat, has a zipper. So the ikur today, the poskim will say, is forget about right, left, wherever the zipper opens, that's where the shalyat shall be, so you'll encounter the shalyat before you come into the shalrosh. That's basically the way it is. And again, the thing to get out of this is the canteens, the thermoses, look carefully at them. Is it standing? Is it sitting? It's not so simple. if it's ideal if you're not a chayol. If you're chayol, kol hakavod. But if not, okay, we'll stop here.